when I was on the AV crew, we used to do Panopticons and things like that. There's Karen Davis, who used to be involved with DWAS, and she was a lot like, sort of my Panoptican wife, and I was like her husband. We used to meet up there and just have a good chat, and the only time we met was like every year at Panopticon. So
yeah.
I suppose, you know, you'd have a special, you know, platonic friendship with somebody like that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her for about 15 years, but we're still in touch on Facebook.
Who says anything about wanting a platonic friendship? Oh, sorry, sorry. I'm a new joke.
Does anyone know where's Mary?
I've already said
you're
that.
Nearer her than I am.
All right, I will.
Can you pop out and ask her?
Yeah.
No, I can text her. I will text her.
Just pop across the road and ask her.
give me a minute to find.
A minute, right, hang on. A minute.
59, 58. 57, 56,
55. I'll stop counting. I have to find the directory on my phone. Give me a second.
Just as well we're not recording yet, isn't it?
Zappy!
Shush.
God. No. I'm not looking forward to this one at all. This one could get quite messy.
I am.
Oh. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, only because it's going to get, yeah, I mean, like.
What's that?
Just waiting for Turk Kirby.
Countdown theme.
I think he's just about to run out of time, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I'm texting her. I found it.
Ooh. Just in the nick of time.
when we went to Australia the first time to watch the Ashes, whenever there's a TV review, the Billy the Cooper, the trumpeter, would play that on his trumpet.
That's quite clever.
It is. Yeah, the Barmy Army are brilliant. It's just a whale of a time out there with them.
I have texted her, so we'll see what happens. How could she forget?
Oh, indeed, how could she?
You know, what's more important, you know, doing whatever you do on a Sunday afternoon out there or podcasting with Adam?
Oh, I just got a vibration.
I'm picking up good vibrations. Oh, she's giving me excitations. Indeed.
Should we just start and see if she responds or what?
Mary.
I'm hanging about for I don't know, 30 seconds.
Give me time. Actually, I've lost my quote. I'm just trying to find it again.
Oh, okay. Got she's it. Getting on now.
Hey. She's got 5 seconds left.
She said, oops, lost track of time, getting on now.
Yeah, we've been to Disraeli's house in Buckinghamshire today.
And
they've got a world, it's where they did a lot of the map work for the Second World War, and particularly the Danvers raid. They explain a lot of that. They've got cut models of Guy Gibson's Lancaster there. And it's very interesting.
What time do you call this?
Are you talking to me?
Well, who else might be talking to?
Sorry. I was talking with a neighbor and totally forgot.
Oh, I see. One fence and a washing line and you're away.
It's a very sexist comment, Pearson.
It's true.
How do you know Mary's got a washing line? She might have a tumble dryer.
I have both, actually.
Do you have a washing line, Mary, then, please?
I do, oh, and I also have a
dryer. I have both.
Yeah,
and a fence, because she didn't deny having the fence either.
And I have a fence, and I have a neighbour.
And you took a fence.
Oh, we only have one neighbour, because we've got a road on the other side, so we only have one neighbour.
You had a rhododendron bush? What are you on about?
No, we have a road on the other side. We have
a rhododendron bush, okay.
Answered Adam's question.
Hang on a minute, I'm being able to talk. The lovely Dawn is about to make an entrance. Hello, say hello, Dawn.
Hello, lovely
hello.
Dawn.
Hello, Dawn.
Usually a good idea to turn up when we're recording.
Another wicket for the... Oh, we've got Chanderpaul out in the cricket.
Got who?
Chanderpaul's out in the cricket now. England-West Indies.
Andy?
Oh.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yes, Kirby?
Did you see the question on the Facebook.
I'm just going through it now. Let me go. Let's go and have a look now. It's 20 megabytes, is it? Hang on.
Yeah, that's generally where we post stuff. Yes.
I don't know. I'm going to open right. Okay. now you see, you're lucky because I've lost my accent. I've been living away nearly 25 years. Wouldn't my best musical accent? It sounds a bit like this, wouldn't I? And you really understand what I say? I mean, do you really understand me, Boston like this? You know, it goes on the bush, like, you know, go for the curry.
Have you not noticed Jeff Waddle's comment?
I have noticed. I'm ignoring it. There is a phrase, you can always tell a Brummie, which is a person from Birmingham for our cross-Atlantic friends,
yes, well, by the shamrock, a while back.
By the shamrock in his turban.
I pay paid services in association with Who1.co.uk presents a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 264. Yes, we're back. I'm Adam, and I have no... I'll do that again. I have a feeling we're being watched, haven't you? And here is Debbie Melrose.
What vortices I am, what you are, I will become.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Drop this hairdryer or whatever it is.
Andy Nunny.
We are coming in our legion to destroy the dark power and its Zabi slaves.
And she made it in the end. Mary Lang.
History doesn't mean anything when you travel through space and time.
Yes, we're back to review that wonderful tale.
Yes, it was.
And I have with me today some J.P. Chenet Merlot, which I'm just about to pour out into my glass, by way of tribute to Mr. Andy Nunny. And his oncoming child, because his oncoming child has reminded me of that we just had a child, actually, in the United Kingdom. Little Princess No Name. Princess No Name was born the other day, so congratulations.
Welcome, Princess No Name, to the royal family.
Yes, yes. I reckon it should be Elizabeth.
I thought it was only horses that had no name.
Sorry, I can't clear rim shot because I'm pouring out wine at the moment.
Adam, tish!
It's not worth it. Right, yes. So a few things have been happening since we've been off air. Not necessarily news, but I'm going to mention them at the moment. Ben Shoveler's got a job, which is absolutely fantastic.
That's good.
And I have to tell you, that definitely does deserve a... And he's on...
Good on you, Ben.
Time 106, which is an online... Has an online facility as well. Somewhere along the line, I'll get.
Oh, so we can listen to him?
Yeah, as long as you're listening between 1 and 4 p.m. or on a weekday in the United Kingdom. Obviously, you have to work out the time differences everywhere else.
Well, you might be listening to Ben as well.
I don't know.
Might be a catch-up facility.
Well, while I'm thrillingly watching this story, I'll try and find the link to his to his show or to his radio station. At least it's in Slough, his radio station. So congratulations.
Oh, come lovely bombs and fall on Slough.
I listened to his show the other day and he hasn't lost it. It's really weird listening to his radio show because he doesn't swear or moan about Stephen Moffat on it. It's just it's like the good old days.
You sure it's him then? Are you sure it's Ben then? It's not somebody else. It's not a Ben sounder like.
Oh, you can tell it's Ben, all right. But it's well worth listening to. He's really good at his job, and it's great that he's actually managed to get around to doing his job after all these years. Well, yeah. This show's been around for 5 years, and he hasn't done any radio DJing in that time. So yeah, Ben's back in work.
He did for a short time. I remember.
Did he?
He
was working for Ladbrokes. That's not radio DJing. He was producing stuff, audio stuff. That's not quite presenting.
And Westin's 81 for 4, Kirby. I know you'd like to know that.
Eh?
The West Indies are 81-4.
Oh, right, okay. There's also a poll on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Can you understand Andy? Now, this has been thought up by Kirby, who can't understand a word he's saying. So therefore, we're going to see if we can actually work out if that's true or not. So
I can understand
Andy
about
Nally
one out of every
understand.
Three words.
Currently,
you listen too slowly. That's your trouble, Kirby.
Currently, it's yes, because we've got Jeff Waddle and Kirby who have voted yes. And Jeff Waddle says, not too difficult for a Pakistani. Yes?
Mary has also voted yes.
No, she hasn't.
Oh, I voted no.
I voted no.
I voted no, but it hasn't come up on my... Hang on, I'll do a refresh.
Okay, I will do a print screen and prove it.
Oh, I did yes.
Be quiet.
Oh, I did yes. No, I meant no.
Did you?
I'll change it.
No.
Yeah, I changed it.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
So you're saying, so Adam, Debbie, and Kirby, and Mary, you're saying you can understand me?
Correct.
Well, I'm saying nothing because mine's not loaded for some reason.
It has, it's there, I can see it. It's definitely on there.
No, the answer, the question is, and I'm putting it back on yes.
Oh, it's changed now.
Is Andy difficult to understand? And I said yes.
Well, it's come up as no.
Yes, it has. You've got Mary, Debbie. Debbie? Oh, sorry, on no. I do a peg of pardon.
Yes,
sorry, Debbie.
Debbie can understand me.
Yeah. I can understand.
So Mary, Debbie, and yourself can understand him, and Kirby and Jeff Waddle can't.
Well, I've actually shared it on my own Facebook, because I want to see what other people think as well. I've shared it. I'm not proud.
Right, I suppose we get a bit on with it, or shall I say it the other way around without using the spoonerism? Better get on with it. It's the web planet.
Yay!
And we had 2 weeks to watch it. Yay!
Yeah! Yes, right. That was a blessing.
Right. forgive me, or don't forgive me, actually, if I go through this quite quickly. So they land on this planet where apparently all the cameras have Vaseline swiped across the lenses, so you can't see a blimmin' thing.
Only if you're outside. If you're inside, there's no... Well, probably because if you're in caves or whatever.
It was a way of disguising how rubbish the sets were.
Yeah, it was supposed to be all about the
disguising them enough.
So there's some the TARDIS has sort of been dragged by some force to the
it's a Star Wars, really?
No, that's tomorrow. Don't forget May the 4th.
Yeah. Oh yes,
it is.
Yay!
Have you seen? By the way, just going totally off topic. You know the various trailers. Somebody's done one, put Jar Jar Binks into every single trailer.
Yeah, I love that.
I watched that about 2 o'clock this morning on the laptop. I thought it was hilarious.
I watched it about half an hour before we started, and I showed it to Fred and her boyfriend, and they loved it.
Yeah, was it the Binks Awakens? They've called, haven't they?
Yes.
I like the one he's hanging off the. What's the little vehicle they use?
X-Wing.
This is really nice stuff,
Andy.
No,
one on the ground. The ground hopper thing.
Andy, it's this lovely stuff. There's J.P. Chenet. It's a Merlot.
Merlot's very good. Yes, I've got
I tell you what. I just took a sip of it. Normally, I just sip it and swallow it. But on this particular occasion, it just sort of sat on my tongue for a bit. And this beautiful sort of air flowed around my mouth before it went down. Lovely.
It was best than Stella, which makes air come out of you, which we don't like.
That went down the wrong way. Anyway, so then we get this.
I'm using a straw.
It doesn't
I'm
take long.
Oh,
it doesn't take long, but about 3 minutes in, we get this sound that we have to put up with for the rest of the story. 6 blooming episodes. That awful, awful noise. Let's see if no, I'm not going to play it.
The one that only Vicky can hear, really, isn't it? It's awful.
We can hear it
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Vicky's had her hair cut as well in the interim, in between. Romans and this. So they decide that the atmosphere is not particularly pleasant for humans, so they decide that Ian and the Doctor are going to wear a strange suit. Meanwhile,
only for part of an episode.
Yeah, no.
Whilst Barbara does the spring cleaning.
Meanwhile, the TARDIS does a strange sort of half disappearing act, and it's sort of very strangely superimposed onto the picture.
I did like it when the Doctor was giving them the coats. He said, "You better put this DJ on," and you could actually see him going, "What? DJ?"
the TARDIS looks like it's been painted by Picasso when it actually does this sort of fading in and out of. It's really weird. The perspective is all wrong on it, which is quite interesting for something that has a perspective.
Yeah,
not respective, perspective. That's in a program about relative dimensions. Ooh, I think somebody's just voted on the "Can anybody understand Andy?" poll. Let's have a look. See where we're at the moment. Live. Oh, it's now 3-3. Because Mary's changed her mind, and Rob Lansdowne says no. Anyway, fall about a bit. The Doctor's wearing a great costume before he puts his spacesuit on. And they
Tanya Levitt has also voted.
Is she? Okay. Moving back to the story, we'll have an update later.
Oh, is that the one other person? Is this? He's coming up as mine.
So Barbara and Barbara and Vicky are told to stay in the TARDIS while the men go out to investigate what's going on.
Yeah.
And they... You see those strange beds again, don't we, in their bedroom? I mean, unless they share a bedroom. I mean, how on earth do you sleep on those beds?
You don't. They're very uncomfortable.
You don't. I can't imagine.
No.
Yeah.
I noticed that it's funny that the Doctor appears to be like wearing a white version of his normal costume with that hat.
The hat, yes.
Yeah.
The white
hat.
Yeah.
The chef's hat.
Anyway, so they're sort of poking around. This sort of scene of them poking around reminded me a little bit of... the second episode of Unearthly Child, but obviously the Doctor and Ian are getting a bit better than they were in those days.
But you know what I find amazing is it's as if Ian has not learned anything from being on Marinus, that he goes right up to that water.
Yeah.
Yes. He's going to be sticking his hands right in. It's like, wait a minute, don't you remember?
Yeah. Meanwhile, no,
for this episode, I'm going to call him Heron.
Yeah.
Heron.
Yeah.
Heron.
Heron.
Yes, I have got my hair
Barbara.
On.
Barbara. Barbara.
Yeah.
Anyway, Heron.
Meanwhile, Barbara has made a point of pointing out she's still got her Nero bracelet, which obviously makes her walk out of the TARDIS.
it's and then, real gold.
We see a very interesting long shot of the Doctor and Ian looking up at this sort of pyramid-y type thing.
That they've just surprisingly walked up to and haven't seen on the horizon.
Yeah.
And also the fact that it, with the Vaseline all over the lens of the camera, you can't really see properly anyway. like you say, Ian's Coal Hill school tie is dipped into the acid and he's not particularly pleased about it.
It's the original one, black with thin emerald stripes.
No points for that. So yeah,
we need some Santarans around to talk about dipping people into acid.
Yeah.
The shot of Barbara being sort of led by her bracelet out of the TARDIS is quite good because that's one of the rare occasions we've actually seen a view through the TARDIS doors and out onto the surface of the planet. We haven't actually seen that since the very early days. Actually, I think probably Unearthly Child.
I like the way your arms leading. I think that was actually one of the few good bits of it.
Was it?
Yeah, it's okay.
One of many good bits, yes.
Anyway, right, so... Vicky wakes up and finds Barbara
Someone's
gone.
Breathing into their microphone.
No, I'm not. And then Ian and the Doctor get separated. The TARDIS goes all weird and starts moving. And then, the Doctor says, "My ship! My TARDIS!"
Yeah, like the way Vicky, she's only been 5 minutes in the TARDIS and trying to just hitting switches at random. And goodness only knows what she's going to be doing. You actually hear the dematerialization sound, but it's being dragged off. So, you know, why on earth would you do that? It's not actually dematerializing. The Zabi are dragging it away, aren't they?
Almost like they couldn't decide at the end of the episode if it was being dragged off, if it dematerialized.
Yeah, or dematerialized.
Yeah, that's the moment in which Vicky actually switched the brakes and jammed them. And that's why we've always heard the...
Why I get that.
Yeah, see.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So the Doctor finds an unconscious Ian, who's got a bit of a headache.
He was trapped in that weird weed thing, wasn't he?
He's got a few blisters as well, but you can't really see the blisters because of the Vaseline on the screen. and then Barbara's led away, and we start seeing a few of the Monoptera. The Doctor and Ian decide they don't need their suits anymore.
I called them wasp men to start with. It was quite funny because I'd seen earlier they'd been described as butterfly-like, and I was like, "Nah, they look more like wasps."
butterflies and woodlouse for the other lot.
Then bees for the opteras as well. They were.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the TARDIS is sliding itself across the surface of the planet. So Vicky's decided she'll stand up and wobble around and do a strange sort of arm motions.
I've written down Vicky's masterclass in being affected by movement.
Yeah. When I saw the Doctor Who whoosical thing, the girl was doing it, they were doing time travel arms, they were running around waving their arms, it's a bit like that, I thought. Which will mean nothing to it. If you actually go onto YouTube, you can actually see clips from the whoosical. It's worth seeing.
Yeah, I heard you were talking with Tim. Yeah. I heard that mention. I need to go out there and see those.
It's well worth seeing. It is very, very good. I mean, I doubt you'll ever get across to over the pond, but it's certainly well worth watching catch up with. But that reminded me, time travel arms, yes.
Yeah, so the current scores are, do you understand, Andy, 4, no, and 3, yes. So Not looking too good, Andy.
Five in my favour.
Does it? It says four.
Ian Kirk has voted as well.
Difficult to understand.
He voted no.
Yeah, that's what the question is. Is he difficult to understand?
Yeah, it's quite simple. Is he difficult to understand? No. Yes. Is he difficult to understand? Yes. You click on what you think is right.
And five people say, no, I am not difficult to understand.
It does depend on why.
Have you voted yet, Andy?
It's written.
Well, I suppose they ought to, wouldn't I? Yeah. There you go. I've just voted.
Oh, dear.
No, he's not difficult.
No,
well, actually, I like Jeff's. I like Robert's comment, though.
Yeah.
So yes, it does depend on wine consumption. Yes,
that's true.
Yes, I do remember the first one. It was actually plastered, wasn't I?
Yeah. Of course, it doesn't make any difference to me while I have another sip of Merlot.
The old golden hen's going down a treat.
Right. Anyway, so Barbara, meanwhile, meets some Monoptera with wings. Obviously, the wings don't last very long, but...
is where it went slightly downhill.
It went slightly downhill once the title sequence finished.
Went downhill when blooming started.
Ian steps on a polystyrene... husk of some variety. I don't know how he didn't see it. He was looking at the doctor at the time, but it was quite large. He could have made a pair of moccasins out of that if he had another one, couldn't he, really? And the TARDIS gets sort of drawn into some, I suppose it's the where the sort of hub of the Animus is.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the control area of the carcinome.
Yeah. I never got the name of those little creatures that look a little bit like wood lice, but with pointed noses.
They are
Optera.
They're the
Optera.
No, the Optera were the little buggy things.
The wood lice things.
The larvae bomb or whatever it was called.
Larva bomb. Larva gun. The larva weapon.
It took me a while to work that out.
Anyway, eventually the doors to the TARDIS open and Vicky is able to get away. Or out of the TARDIS, and she's immediately bombarded by that awful noise. Let's see if it's a bit of a play of that awful noise.
I like the fact that you sort of see the difference in
time. That awful noise.
What on earth is that?
You see, it sounds like car alarms going off.
Yes, it does, actually. Brilliant. let's give Mary a point for that. That was a brilliant analogy. eventually, you'll get a point when my computer decides to play the sound.
I thought you had a new computer. Why is
I have.
So
I'm
slow?
Not using that computer for this particular. I'm using my new computer to watch Doctor Who on and peruse the internet. The other computer's just doing Skype and playing sound slowly. the Doctor and Ian cuddles Vicky in a slightly inappropriate way. Because she's scared and she's the replacement for Susan, and who obviously always got lots of cuddles.
But as I was just saying, Vicky's a lot braver than Susan because she goes straight out the TARDIS.
She doesn't do a lot of screaming, does she, to be fair?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't know not to be afraid. I mean, Susan's used to this, you know, obviously having been travelling with the doctor some time. But for Vicky, this is her first trip in the TARDIS, so she hasn't got a clue what to expect and doesn't know where she is, so she doesn't know to be afraid, does she?
Or she's just too stupid to be afraid.
There's that bit as well. But also the interesting part that's a part of her nature is the fact that any creature that she befriends, she gives it a name.
Zombo.
Yeah, Zombo.
Yes.
So the Monoptera have got a strange collection of tubes, which they're using as some sort of communication device to try and contact.
In fact, they have to close it
spearhead.
Really quickly to get an answer.
Yeah, it does look like a, rearranging it, yeah.
Does look like a strange sort of puzzle.
Monoptera invasion force. Yeah. Quickly close it.
I just found also quite funny is with their sort of arm movements, obviously trying to make it look like the sort of fly probes, you know, making those silly sort of zzz noises, which is... when they argued with each other as well, it was quite amusing.
Their hands are always kind of fluttering around like they're trying to apply nipple clamps or something.
I didn't know about nipple clamps, Mary. Do you want to explain that, please?
Yeah, that's interesting, Mary. Please do.
Or take them off. I don't know.
This is a sort of insight into Mary's life we've never really had before on the 20 Megabyte podcast.
I did comment that this needs to be broadcast after the watershed. I think it definitely needs to be broadcast after the watershed now. I think this should go out with an explicit tag, Adam.
Should it? We haven't seen anything yet. Anyway, moving on. the death count of the Monoptera begins towards the end of episode two.
The Zarbi use gold. Does that mean that the Zarbi could take on the Cybermen then?
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah, just a thought.
Yes, and then we saw that obviously the Monoptera get their wings cut off and Barbara turns her head away because she can't bear to watch it. Then a hairdryer comes down over the Doctor's head.
Yes.
And he's able to talk to the Animus.
Does Alfred ever use one of those, Adam?
Yeah, but not quite that shape. It's a different shape. Obviously, there's a 1960s hairdryer. It's not 1960s. It's in the future or somewhere in the distant space or whatever.
Actually, Adam, I'm surprised you know about a hairdryer, Adam.
Stop blowing on your microphone. You'll get away with that comment if you don't blow on your microphone.
I'm not blowing the microphone. There you go.
Yes, you are.
No, not, listen to me breathing now.
On your microphone. Yes. I forget this every blimmin' week. Right. So the Doctor is in confab with the Animus, and I do like the Doctor in these scenes. He's very very strong and stands his ground, and he's also quite manipulative and cunning as well. So he's really good, actually. So it's not complete rubbish, because Will Hartnell is absolutely superb in this story.
Yes.
But apart from
it's a wonderful story.
Apart from that, it's rubbish.
He's about the only one.
Not a lot of Bill Fluffs in this story. It's very, very good. I thought they weren't a lot.
No, there were.
No, there were. But they're fine.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because they just ignore them. They just roll with
it.
It's
part of the Doctor's way. Yes. So they keep on sort of going in and out of the TARDIS, I noticed, as well, during these episodes. One, the first time, obviously, was to get the star map thing.
Debbie, I just saw your thing.
The interesting thing about that is that Ian knocks it and one of the little stickers on the side wobbles from side to side in one of the episodes. Oh, find me the time mark. I don't blooming know the time mark. I just know it happens. I know he's
going to
ask me that question.
I wasn't going to.
You were... So,
I like the parts where the Zarbi run into the camera or knock over scenery and stuff.
Yeah, they've obviously got two different star maps, because one's got flashing lights and the other one's just got a paper stickies on the side. I only just noticed that probably by watching this another time. Because, Ian, meanwhile, has gone off on some sort of mission. What?
Debbie's.
Debbie's
comment. I've just seen it, yeah.
I think Kirby's
just getting sidetracked.
Oh, I'm winning 73
now. No, it's about what we're talking about.
Mary Blitz Lane just likened the Monopsis hand movements to applying nipple clamps.
Another classic recording session.
There might be a special medical procedure in a hospital.
Yeah. I'm winning 7-3 now.
Yeah, that doesn't matter, though. Right. Who's got their blooming notification noise on? Moving on.
Well, I do.
Have you seen what Jeff just said?
Will you stop sidetracking?
Stop.
It's best than talking about the blooming story.
Yes, Jeff Water says, I hate it when those nipples park themselves on yellow and black lines. Now, shut up. Right. So.
Next week it'll be, does Debbie giggle too much in each episode? Yes or no?
So Ian quickly makes friends with one of the Monoptera, whose name, it's Wristin or something like that, and she's one.
Wristin.
And
Wristin is Wristin.
I think Barbara would have got a bit jealous there. And she calls him Heron.
If you have any questions about names of these characters, forget it. I've lost points.
Never mind. Wristin. And she calls him Heron. Why? Haven't quite worked out why yet. Anybody worked out why?
Yes.
Oh, go on then, Kirby.
That's their names.
It's Ian. Just with the way that they pronounce things, it's Ian with the H on the front.
Heron.
Yeah,
it
doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. I'm afraid. So there's some quite good scenes that work quite well with the Vaseline on the lens of the Monoptera flying around. That's quite impressive. Mm-hmm. The Doctor with his hairdryer on quite... There's really not a lot going on. It's just lots of noises and backwards and forwards into the TARDIS and I'm playing the wrong episode.
They never try and escape from the TARDIS, do they? They never sort of like, hang on, we can get back in the TARDIS, let's see if we can do anything. It's, you know, are they just so thick they don't think of trying that, or what?
They've just split them up, and obviously Ian's on his way to do something, Barbara's on her way to do something, and there's a lot of, with the necklace thing, putting that on and off various characters within the story, and...
The wishbone, yeah.
Pardon? The wishbone.
The wishbone.
Which they sort of diffuse by plugging it into the paper version of the... Yeah, that's right, the Doctor knocks it. Oh, he means to. I see, it's a panel. Oh, right, it's supposed to swing from side to side. I apologise. Yeah, apparently the little star map thing is able to diffuse these... What did you call them, Kirby?
Wishbones.
Wishbones.
So, you know, I wonder,
just as the Daleks look and act the way they do, you wonder how they come up with the sophisticated science equipment that they do. I'm wondering, with these lovely, you know, wishbones, as Kirby calls them, how did the Zarbi or Animus or any of these creatures come up with those?
Who knows? Good point, but that, it's part and parcel of this... A strange tale. But what they did do rather well is give the feeling that there were lots of Monoptera, but I suspect there were only about three and four there. But they did actually give that feeling there were quite a lot of them around. I thought that was quite impressive. Yeah, does somebody agree with me then? I should hope so too.
I agree.
Good. Whatever.
I second that.
I did forget to mention the beginning of the story when Ian's pen disappeared. That had a minor significance in episode four. Yes. The Doctor keeps doing stuff, and the hairdryer will drop down, and then he'll do his very good sort of monological acting. Mm-hmm. And then Ian gets threatened with death from the little Optras. Are they the little bugs, the Optras?
They're the wood lice, yes.
No, the wood lice are the little flat ones. The Optras are sort of grubs, aren't they, really?
Fleas with bee eyes.
Well, they're supposedly related to the Monoptera.
Yeah, supposedly.
Like, they went underground and lost their wings and, you know, became something else.
Yeah.
And they bounce around like little fleas.
Yeah. You must come back to the light.
Who did Barbara make friends with? Notice they can say Barbara, but not Ian.
No, they ended up saying Barbara, and then it becomes Arbora after a while.
Well, still sounds a bit more like Barbara than... Heron sounds like Ian.
Heron.
Yeah. Lots of...
and night.
Lots of dead Monoptera. That essentially is the end of episode four.
I know it sounds nasty, but the bit when they're taken prisoners and have their wings pulled off.
Yeah.
It sounds very sort of...
Well, they pulled off or cut off.
Messing with insects, doesn't it?
I got the feeling they were cut off because they were still remnants.
They were torn off.
Off. Sorry.
That's a lovely picture of the Monoptera's wings that you posted, Debbie.
Mm. It's been coloured in by somebody.
It's nice. Coloured picture of it.
There is quite a good part of the story when Vicky sort of pretends she's been taken over and she's sort of got the necklace around her neck, and that was quite a good little part of the story. Because she then sort of takes things into her own hands, and that particular scene into her own hands, and that worked really nicely. And then there's a funny bit where Barbara sort of looks up, and there's this sort of roof, and she says, "It's beautiful, but it wasn't." I thought that was quite amusing. She didn't say it wasn't. Yeah. I just looked at it and thought it wasn't. It clearly wasn't beautiful. So I reckon that I would have had a chance with Barbara if she were still here. She thought that was beautiful. So yeah, there's lots of nothing.
It's
much
funny how Barbara
on.
Suddenly becomes the leader as well.
Yeah, there's lots of nothing going on between Ian and his collection of friends, and Barbara and her collection of friends, and the Doctor.
No, there's plenty going on, but it's all in dialogue.
Yes, but it's just dragging the story quite badly. It's just lots of walking around and talking and what we're going to do and contact the spearhead and, we must not go onto the surface because it will kill us, blah, blah, blah. And it's just a lot of
I was just thinking, the spearhead coming, it's coming from outside. Is that a spearhead from space then?
Yeah, no, that's too predictable, Andy, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, I know, all right. It made Mary chuckle.
No, my comment made Mary chuckle, I'm afraid. The end of episode 5 saw the Doctor and, which would look good in a 1-week cliffhanger, the Doctor with his net. You can see a net there. And Vicky getting covered in spray. Silly string. Essentially, but
they don't look happy about it, do they?
But it looked quite fun. And if that was like the cliffhanger for, you know, you've got to wait to see what happens a week later, that was actually probably one of the best cliffhangers in the whole story. But unfortunately, when they come back to it the next week,
they don't cut away from the like exciting part that happens. Mm. It's like it goes on for a while and people wander around and then that's the end.
Yeah. Well, they come back to it next week and they're nowhere near as badly covered. In the next scene, and of course the hairdryer comes down again, and the animus threatens to kill the doctor and everybody, and blah 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 blah.
It never does. I mean, it's like the Daleks always say exterminating, and they never do.
Yeah. Oh, there's this thing about an isotope. Is that a mispronunciation of something?
Isotope.
Yeah.
And then one of them says it's an isotope at one point.
Yeah. But anyway, this isotope, which doesn't have any qualities that will give you any radiation sickness, fortunately, is sort of smuggled down into the animus, which looked terrible. It really did. It just looked like something hanging from a rope and these sort of strange foam legs. It just looked
lots
awful.
Of
the looks, the voice acting was quite good, but apparently it was a bright light which hurt their eyes. And then the doctor and Vicky nearly succumbed.
Filthy great spider!
Yes.
Well, that reminded me of something. Supposed to aim it at the dark side of the.
There wasn't one.
Only you couldn't see. I mean, how she was just kind of randomly aiming it everywhere.
But there wasn't a dark side. That was the point. Anyway, meanwhile, Ian edges further nearer.
All of a sudden,
And eventually.
Yeah, then all of a sudden it takes effect. So.
Eventually he's the hero and is able. No, it's Barbara, actually, wasn't it?
It's Barbara who's the hero.
It's that scary hair of hers.
Yes. And everybody's free and the planet can come back. And the water starts running again and. Yeah. Everybody's dancing around in silly ways, and it's all good. And that essentially was it. But the unusual part of the episode, it ends with the Monoptera, not happens next in the TARDIS. Strange. But anyway, right. So tell you what I think of this story.
Power is dead.
Yeah, thank you. This is what I think of this story.
Flying Monoptera, the daughter of light.
Shut up.
We are waiting.
Be quiet. I'll point. Next person who speaks gets a point deducted. Apart from me, obviously. Right. Yes, I'll just tell you what I think of this story. It's tripe. It's the worst Doctor Who story by a long, long way, and I'm so glad it's over. I can get on watching the rest of it. It's awful. It's too long. I think it could have been condensed to one episode, and it still would have been boring. It's just awful, drab, boring. There's nothing in it apart from a couple of things I've already outlined that are quite good. William Hartnell's good in it.
One every time and then sort of every now and then sort of thing.
Yeah, one at a time. Couldn't watch it. I couldn't bear to watch it day by day.
So glad to have each episode over.
It's just the noise of the blooming Zabi. It just goes through you. It's pointless. There's no need for them to make a silly noise like that. It's just terrible. I mean, the only thing, apart from the performance of William Hartnell, the only thing that's good is the iconic costumes, the Monoptera, are fantastic. And I did like the Zabi costume as well. I thought they're very cleverly done. The fact, you know, obviously, they're blokes with tights and with ants on them. But it really, the actors inside those costumes did a great job. I liked those. I believed in them to a certain degree as characters. I know insects look a bit weird walking around on 2 feet. But the actors did, you know, try and...
Very
play
muscly
alien insects, and that's fine. But the story, how on earth did they think it was going to work as a six-parter? I do not know. Terrible.
Because it works.
It doesn't. It's terrible. Anyway, what do you think of it then, Kirby?
I loved it. This is one of the best William Hartnells I have ever seen. Imaginative, just full of so many great alien ideas. You get the thoughts of how alien creatures don't think in human ways and have non-human ways of dealing with things. Very ambitious.
Certainly was that.
I loved it all the way through. I disliked the beeping and I thought that the Zarbi costumes were a bit silly. The Monoptera costumes were cool. But after the initial shock of seeing the Zarbi, I stopped really, except for when they ran into scenery, I stopped seeing them that way. But I loved it. Absolutely. This is one I'm going to watch over and over again. Absolutely. No problem.
Good Lord. Okay.
I'm really surprised because I'd been avoiding it for a long time because someone named Adam kept telling me it was horrible.
And someone named Adam was spot on. Okay. Debbie, what did you think?
Could have done with being a four-parter.
A one-parter, definitely. Maybe.
A four-parter story. It didn't have to be quite so long. Mm. But I have been obviously told that it was not going to be good.
Mm.
And I watched it and I went at it with an open mind and I actually really quite enjoyed the ideas behind the story. But every time that Zarbi noise came on, I just switched off. I was just like, I can't concentrate with this going on over the dialogue. And then when they bumped into things, it was hysterical. So I had to stop watching because I was laughing. But I enjoyed it as a story because you could see how the whole, Doctor Who's famous for its, rubber masks and wobbly scenery. There it all was. Straight away, all of it was there. This story embodied everything that I really love and have soft spots for in Doctor Who. So overall, I enjoyed it, but it could have been shorter.
Yeah, it could definitely have been shorter. Five episodes shorter.
It would all be handled in a 45-minute episode nowadays.
Yes, comfortably.
Yeah, it would all have been handled very quickly.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's great to see the difference, and that's how I watched it. I watched it as this is a classic, this is of its time, right. And I didn't, it's not one of my love it ones, but it was definitely this is all right. The idea is great.
Okay. Well, I will say though, and it is a worse Doctor Who, but it's still better than a lot of TV programs are on at the moment. I still wouldn't be without it.
I'd rather sit and watch Classic Who any day.
I must say, I enjoyed it this time more than I have ever enjoyed it before, simply because I was paying attention to what to write questions for it. But it's still the worst Doctor Who, but it's still good. Right. Andy, what did you think?
Well, I watched my old UK Gold Omnibus that I've copied off video onto DVD. Mm. I watched it in two parts, and I think, let's set the positives. Oh, I got a load of ironing done. Say again?
Fantastic.
I got a load of ironing
done. A lot of women have turned you into their hero because of that.
Comment. Oh, no, you see, if you give Dawn an iron and an ironing board and a shirt, half an analysis in a cuff, it's... Dawn cannot iron for toffee. I do all the ironing in that household. And I do
I'm this... rubbish at ironing. Yeah.
Well, send it round. I'll do it for you. It's dead easy. But this was just awful. There was no plot. There were characters just didn't... I mean, one good whack and the Zarbi would go over. I mean, let's face it. There ain't a lot to them. They're so slow moving, for goodness sake. There was no attempt to try and escape. They got dragged down and they just wandered around aimlessly. They were not to themselves. They come back to their own country, their own planet. They just don't try and do anything. It was just awful. Thank God I had to watch it. I even tried reread the novel. And it's interesting, the novel actually refers to Doctor Who, and I got a second-hand copy, and somebody's gone through and tip-exed out all the Doctor Who said, Doctor Who said this, Doctor Who did this, all the way through the novel. Probably that's one of the most interesting things about that novel. I just never, ever want to see this again. If I do ever get a complete DVD collection, it won't be complete because I won't have this in. It was rubbish. I'd rather watch the Gunfighters than watch this. There you go, Jeff Waddell.
Oh, my God.
Waddle.
There you go. Waddle. I'll get his name right one day. Sorry, Jeff Waddle.
Waddle.
I would rather watch the Gunfighters than watch this.
Hey, everybody. Never, me and Andy agree
ever
with something.
Again.
Well, I still haven't seen the Gunfighters, and I'm waiting until we review it.
I'm waiting for the sound effect to come up.
It's far better than this. It's far more enjoyable, far more entertaining, and this has got a cost.
Yeah, that was in relation to Andy agreeing with me. That was a very delayed... I'm still not going to play it, for Christ's sake. Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. Technology. Okay, then, Mary, what did you think? I've done you, haven't I? No, I haven't. Sorry. Mary?
Well, I'm kind of on the fence about it.
What, the fence you just been chatting to your neighbour over?
To my neighbour. When I saw it a few years ago, I was, I won't say fascinated, but I was really drawn in by the originality, the creativity, the really good ideas, and the strangeness of it. So I had a more positive view of it then than I have this time when I, because now that I knew what to expect, I wasn't taken, you know, by surprise by anything. Then all I could do then was pay attention to what bad direction there is in this. The people just, and creatures just wander around, as Andy says. There's all this interminable dialogue that goes on that really isn't that necessary. I agree that it could have been cut down to, you know, two or three episodes, and it would have been better. And I understand that there were a lot of arguments between Lambert and the director, Martin, ongoing arguments throughout this, and I can only imagine what they were about. But, and I think the stories following this are all going to be very conservative, because even at the time that this was being shown, the audience share was falling each week until I think it got down to something like a 15%. Hardly anybody was watching it by the last episode.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. So I do admire the ideas. I do admire, you know, all the things that they tried to do. But I just think the director, and like I was saying about the cliffhangers, they ended up not being cliffhangers because there was all this, you know, indeterminate wandering around after the exciting moment. And that just, for me, kind of encapsulates how the whole thing was, just not very well directed. So that's where I am.
So essentially what you're saying, everybody, is I'm right.
Adam, yes, you're right.
No, but I'm still rather worse than the gunfighters.
No, no, you're wrong.
The gunfighters is better than this. I'd rather watch the gunfighters any day.
They didn't do too bad with viewers. They started with 13.5 million and ended with 11.5 million. They lost 2 million.
No, well, I read differently.
It's probably because people just think that this can't get any worse, really. That there must be some plot here. I'm convinced there's got to be some plot here. And the end of the sixth episode, they said, no, it was rubbish. There was no plot. No, and, never again.
Or maybe people were tuning in to see, they're going to end the story. And when not, they would turn it off.
The first episode with the 13.5 million viewers was the highest number for any 1960s Doctor Who.
Yeah, was the view in the last episode?
They're probably fascinated by it at first.
Yeah, and then realise, oh my God, this is terrible. I think the viewing figures there sort of rather point out that even at the time it was terrible. I think I won that one. Right then, Zoe, moving on. Last week we sort of put a sort of call out for people that listen in to the show. Who's knocking their microphone? Who's fiddling?
Oh, I was trying to get the cat to purr into the microphone.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's really important.
Night one.
Anyway, right. So, people that replied, I've got Den Palmer who said, great show, even though the lot of you are totally crazy lol KBO guys. What's that mean?
KBO? What? Lol KBO?
Yeah, what's that mean?
Keep broadcasting on?
Yeah, keep buggering on.
Keep
buggering on, yes. Yes.
Is that okay? Thank you. I prefer Debbie's version of that particular abbreviation.
Keep buggering on's quite good.
Sean, but it was because that's a Doctor Who connection, isn't it?
Yes.
Because that's from Victory of the Daleks, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Sean Bradshaw said the quiz theme, a highlight of your wonderful podcast.
Yep,
hang on, I've got something for Sean here. Sean, this is for you. Might have to wait for... Oh, there we go. The highlight of your, I'm going to say that bit again, wonderful podcast is from CBS's Match Game. I grew up with it. I think the UK had a similar game called Blankety Blank. Pipe smoking, cravats, and possibly whiskey flasks were involved. It's terrific. Ask anyone who's seen it. Well, Blankety Blank was pretty good. And Terry Wogan had a stick mic. I think the chap in the photo there on the Match Game, which is its American counterpart, also had a stick mic. Andy Nunney. I remember that. Do we remember what Blankety Blank or?
Yeah, Blankety Blank. Yes, I remember Blankety Blank. Yeah, I remember we got digital. When we lived in Essex, we got digital cable in, First thing to talk, Greg, what's these channels? Walk in, Dawn's watching Old Blankety Blank. Although we've got 200 channels, and she's watching Old Blankety Blank.
So what channel is that on? Is that on the Challenge channel?
Challenge, probably.
Probably would be. We're talking, God, I've been living in, sorry, for 9 years. We're probably talking 15 years ago.
Well, Les Dawson was on it for one period of time.
He was, yeah.
And then I think they tried to bring it back again, but... It didn't last.
Oh, well. God, who was it then? Was it Matt? No, it wasn't Matt. It was,
I can't remember.
Julian Clary presented it. Who was it? Sorry, Debbie?
Is it Julian Clary for a
while?
Yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
That's right.
Was it?
You guys have lost the Americans.
Yeah, never mind.
We had Match Game. I loved Match Game.
You'll know what we're talking about. The Match Game is what Blankety Blank was.
Yes, we understand that, but we don't know the celebrities that you're talking about.
Oh, that's apparently, Dinos Daniel said,
You don't know Terry Wogan.
The Interruption podcast or something. Dinos Daniel said, finally finished the Romans, first episode of Scooby Who, as Tom DWP says. But it was better than The Rescue. Just. It's nothing to do with the question originally asked, but thanks anyway, Dinos. I presume that it meant he actually listened to the show, even though he didn't actually say so. What else we got here? It's very difficult to find these because people tend to drop them in the wrong place, which was the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, and I asked to have emails. Nobody ever listens to me, and this is the point I'm trying to make.
Sorry, did you say something there, Adam? Didn't hear that.
Dan Van Kylenberg says that he listens to the show with the hashtag quiet listener.
Quietly, yeah.
He comes from the Isle of Wight, by the way.
Well, you must know him then.
I do. I used to work with him.
He must be like round the corner from you or next door to you.
I don't
or something.
Know if he's round the corner, yeah, but I used to work with him.
Yeah,
it's upstairs.
Yeah. Be quiet.
We're just booking our ferry for the Isle of Wight for the music festival as well. So, yeah, it's
expensive,
getting
close, isn't it?
Indeed.
And Ian Kirk tells me that I welcomed Mike Metzler, or Net Metzler last week. I don't think there's been any further. People to welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, sadly. Anything else? No, not on those lines. Right, so to move on from the mentions on the Facebook page to mentions via the correct format, that's email, we've had show of hands from Rob Lansdowne, who says, just want to say I listen every week and do often post in the group, although I noticed I didn't get my name read out in the Romans episode.
Told
That's
you a lot.
Kirby's fault. He forgot to tell me to do that. Yes. Hello.
Okay, I'm missing something.
Yeah,
did someone hiccup?
No.
No, I mean, how? What was I supposed to do?
Pardon?
It doesn't matter. I was just winding you up. Oh, we'll get some enjoyment out of it. I've got some audio feedback from somebody called Phil.
Hello, Adam, Debbie, Mary, Kirby, Andy.
Dr. Phil.
It's Dr. Phil here.
Yes, I know.
Chiming in, I've been out of touch for a while, sorry.
Yay!
And firstly, about Adam's comment a couple weeks ago about why can't Americans pronounce Kansas and Arkansas the same way? Ha ha!
That was
Because
comment, not mine.
They're not English. Kansas is based off the Sioux word. For people of the South Wind, and Arkansas is likely based off the same word, but off of a French pronunciation of the same term, because remember, that's part of the Louisiana Purchase. So that's the reason why Kansas and Arkansas are different names. That's why Illinois is pronounced Illinois and not Illinois, because it's not
watch
French.
Out for that squirrel.
It is of the Illini tribes that originally lived in the Illinois area. So there's all sorts of complications, but mostly because those terms are not always English. Hey, I'm from Texas. We have stupid named towns like Texarkana, the ugliest zit of a city in that part of the country. Anyway, sorry to offend people in Texarkana, but I'm from Houston. It's not much of a wonderful place either. Hearing the most recent episode that you wanted renditions of your theme tune
Yay.
Done. Ahem, ahem.
Let's get my best singing voice ready.
Okay.
Got to sample this.
Dum 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 da 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 da
I'm glad that was a short version.
Okay, I'm not going to do the middle eight.
Well done.
That's
real
voice.
A round of
yes, that's right. Real voice.
So anyway, hope you're enjoying the land of the Romans and Hartnell burning down Rome. And comment last week about the Dalek invasion of Earth. There was comments about the music being a bit loud. And also in that story, it's interesting. The 60s have a lot of people who are important composers in academia. Tristram Cary always believed that his Doctor Who music was a lesser creation amongst all of his other works, because it was just workman type work for him. But the way that the music was done for series like Doctor Who is it was discussed with the director and pre-recorded. They couldn't do it in post-production. So the music being too loud is there was actually an audio mixer playing the music into the actual performing studio, and that's why the earliest Doctor Who stories sound the way they do. But anyway, I digress. Also, if anyone who appreciates the Resurrection of the Daleks, the Peter Davison story, is it's very neat that the closing music written for that story is very reminiscent of the music that accompanies the closing scene after the TARDIS has departed and Dalek invasion of Earth, worth listening for. So, anyway, hope everything's going great for you guys, and I'm listening, and I'm enjoying the quiz, and I do not think the quiz questions are too hard.
No,
but I'm definitely in the Kirby camp with that. But yeah, don't ask me about actors' names, because I'm not a Toby Haydock. And, although, that's never meant as a bad thing, because Toby is wonderful. So, put out that DVD of the Moths, and my stepson stole my sonic screwdriver because they were planning on that for a while, but there hasn't been news yet.
DVD, so. I haven't seen a
fingers
DVD.
Crossed, because I love both shows. And interestingly enough, about when they performed Chicago TARDIS a few years back, the stepson stole my sonic screwdriver. Is you can tell a musician in the audience because it gets to one point early in the show, and he comments that they have the subtitles on, and the show is going. And text comes on the screen, Doctor Who theme. And his stepson is deaf, so he couldn't hear Delia's Doctor Who theme. And I remember, maybe I was one of the few people in the audience, but I totally lost it at that moment. Because I, you know, not being able to hear, you know. People always ask really dumb questions of musicians all the time. What if you had a choice between being deaf or being blind, I would probably be mute. And...
Did he crash then?
No, he went mute.
He did.
He went mute.
That was it. He ended it stylishly. With
no, he didn't, because he sent another feedback through, and this is a continuation of it.
All right, it's Dr. Phil again, and sorry to be sending in a second feedback for the same week, but getting to the end of your Romans podcast, I listen. We listen. We love you guys.
I hope so, too.
Anyway, I'm sorry that I've been a little bit out of touch and haven't been sending in stuff for a while. It's just been a very, very busy season, and that's a good thing because there's an abundance of work. The bad thing is I get home and, you know, after getting up at 4:30, I get home around midnight and just pass out and forget to send in feedback. So I'm in my usual spot, the car, sending you in some more feedback. And we were talking ahead to May the 12th for recording one of your next podcasts, but May the 11th? At 8 p.m. Central Time, U.S. Central Time, not trying to make it sound like the U.S. is the center of the university, silliness like that, on WFMT.com, 98.7 in Chicago,
we'll
be doing a live broadcast of early Baroque to mid-high Baroque works for soprano, recorder, theorbo, and viol. So please listen
awesome.
In. There'll be a good amount of English music represented and
okay.
a few really nice...
Cool.
Challenging gamba solos, but anyway, sorry to plug, but
plug away.
Anyway, you know, you guys. Oh, and you, I was asking this week about the history of the theme tune of your show, since it's what Susan's listening to, Doctor Who. Listen to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode. I think what was it, 100 or 200?
Oh,
I don't recall. At the moment, but I did make sure to do a segment on your theme tune that I did send in. So hopefully you found the rendition I did of your theme tune laughable. At least I hope. Anyway, hope you guys are having a great day. Looking forward to what you guys have to say about the web planet. I can't say that I'm a huge fan of the web planet. But I kind of appreciate more when Doctor Who does things outside of its comfort zone, and even when it fails or is divisive, I kind of appreciate that. I'm one who loves the Sea Devils. I love the score to the Sea Devils by Malcolm Clark. As many people despise it, but I think it does something very unique in that era of the show. And, you know, the Rings of Akaten, kind of makes me cringe a great deal. But anyway, oh, you were mentioning about the Peter Capaldi, his 12th Doctor theme. It comes in especially in that wonderful moment after the after Clara goes, "Why are you helping me?" And he says, "Well, what do you think betraying me would make any difference?" And when he says, "Let's go," you can hear as he's getting the TARDIS controls ready, that's actually his theme. It's very understated by comparison to the bombast we had with Tennant and Matt Smith's 11th Doctor theme. But anyway, always appreciate what you guys have. I appreciate everyone's input on your show. And as much as you give Kirby a hard time, I thoroughly enjoy Kirby's bits.
Pardon?
That sounds really naughty. That's what she said moment. Excuse me.
Is Kirby still there?
Yikes.
He's gone. He's
ouch.
Gone.
Okay. that was... Aha! I'll leave that one. I'll step away from that immediately. Nonetheless, oh, and since there were some comments about the new Star Wars trailer, the very end of the trailer for that, when you hear the dom, da-dom, da-da, da-da, da-dom, that's the ending fanfare of the scene from Empire Strikes Back, where Yoda has picked up the X-Wing and is placing it down, and Luke looks astonished. And if you listen carefully to the trailer, they artificially extend that chord until the silence before Han and Chewie show up in the trailer. So there's something I noticed on my first viewing, and I might admit that I've watched that trailer about 75 times or more and listened to it in the car a number of well beyond that as well. So, yikes. But anyway... I'm going on and on and on and rambling, aren't I? Well, this will make a long podcast this week, but my wife surprised me because I've been out all week rehearsing for Kofi of Quintet in South Bend, Indiana. And I got home and she goes, "Oh, we have a surprise for you." I'm like, "Okay." And I come upstairs and you're like, "That's what she said again." Anyway, and my wife and daughter surprised me with 10th Planet, Ice Warriors, The Moon Base, so three stories that are animated. Scream of the Shalka, which had a strange misprint saying it was a two-disc set when it's just one. And then I think it was the Claws of Axos special edition. They found him at a local comic shop for more than half off, so I was kind of surprised. I was kind of amazed. So anyway, so the ones that are out of print, I think I mostly have because I got them early on in the range. So I'm very sad that the number of Classic Who DVDs, I'm almost completely caught up, and that's a sad thing, but oh well. Anyway, not like I have any time to watch them. They just sit on the shelf waiting to be viewed. I might have to try to watch them all from the beginning, but that, like you guys are doing. But enjoy the web planet. I'm sure that even if you hate it, you'll probably have a great talk about it. I'm looking forward to hearing that. So keep up the great work, guys. I really enjoy listening to you guys every week. And you guys are, even if I don't send in enough feedback to say how much I appreciate the company you have on all of my driving escapades across the Midwest, and there are many of them, you know, I'd probably be even slightly more insane an individual than I already am. So anyway, cheers, everyone. Lots of love to the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. Thank you very much.
We probably won't hear from him another 6 months.
But that was great. Back, you know?
Oh, he's back, is he? Oh, good grief. Yeah. Kirby decided he had enough of that particular.
He texted me that his internet went down.
Yes.
Not his computer, but his internet.
No, silly.
Must point out, we haven't had Cher on tonight, have we?
No,
what
do you mean it'll be a while?
I have to say, though, I totally agree with Dr. Phil's comments that that Kirby's a complete pain in the... I don't want to say that word on air, but yes.
Wherewithal.
Yeah. Pardon?
Master.
Yes.
Master. As far as the Arkansas pronunciation, it varies by region. I think I said this before. We mentioned this a while back. Some Midwestern states pronounce it the Arkansas River, the Arkansas River, whereas in Colorado and Arkansas, they say Arkansas River. So,
okay. Thank you. The relevance to Doctor Who was rhythm.
And there was something else that he was bringing up. Oh, yes. WFMT. My wife and I listened to WFMT. That's the Chicago classical station in our kitchen over the internet because it's just a wonderful radio station. It's one of our favorites. So I'm definitely going to tune in.
Good. Right. Can we move on? No?
I'm breathing. Yes. Is that moving?
Be quiet. We've got this bit of feedback.
Okay. How are you doing? Right. The Web Planet by Bill Strutton. I could make some enemies here right now, but, well. Let's all take a time warp back to 1965. We're all sat in the living room, having just watched the end of The Webbed Planet by Bill Strutton. Are you ready now?
Mm.
One, two, three, four.
Rubbish.
Look what they've done to Doctor Who.
Pardon?
Look what they've done to Doctor Who.
Yes, you've lost me.
It used to be the best show in the world, but now it's turned to utter crap. Look what they've done to Doctor Who.
It's like having Ben on the show, but in the singing form.
I can't speak French, but I will say this. The Web Planet completes an utter meld.
Okay. Thank you.
Now then. I've not seen this story before, so to go into it with an open mind was somewhat difficult, without being influenced by a lot of the negative rap that this story has copped over the years by various fans.
Including me.
But I watched it in three settings, and I found that quite a task. I really did. While I found the plot quite good, with the Monoptera wanting to claim back their planet from the evil takeover of the Animus... I found the concepts or the plot, the good plot, I might add, hidden with my initial impression of stupid costumes and laboriously long, unnecessary six-parter in this case. Why ruin a good story with unnecessary panning out and boring stuff? Honestly, why? Why? I don't get it. I mean, this story did captivate me visually, but not in a good way. But for me, to be captivated by a story, like a screen story, in this case, televised Doctor Who, it has to captivate me visually by a good villain, you know, or a good combating evil, you know. And I found this lacking... okay, very much so. With men and women being dressed up as giant insects, with a barren landscape with a dark sky in the background, and the continuous, monotonous electronic sound of the Zabri communicating, I was half expecting the clangers to make an appearance, for goodness sake. I really did. I didn't like it. And I wonder if this is where Jim Henson got his idea from. I wonder. Interesting. If you enjoyed it, great stuff. But my subjective take is this. Is while I've heard the novelisation of this story is quite good, for me, the screen version is nothing more or less than an embarrassment of fandom. I'm embarrassed by this story. I wouldn't want any of my friends, colleagues or whatever to watch it through fear of being laughed at as a Doctor Who fan. Heavy words. It's hard to compare this story with ones, you know, some of the greats of Doctor Who, like Genesis of the Daleks, you know, the Autumn stories from the Pertwee era, from Seeds of Doom, from Caves of Androzani, etc. The list goes on. It just doesn't compare to such greats. So there you go. There's my take on The Web Planet.
And a very good take it is too.
Indeed. Well said, Ian.
I hope so.
Ian?
You take care. Bye.
Sorry, yeah, Billy. Yeah, I know Billy, so I'm cracking at Billy.
How many wine have you had? I'm still on my first glass. It's a very large glass.
Did we have Ian's feedback while I was out?
Yeah. He said that he said all sorts of things. Shut up, Debbie. He said all sorts of things about you.
Adam.
Pardon?
Not Adam. Gordon Bennett, I'm losing.
Bennett's not on the show either.
No, Gordon Bennett might post, yes.
Anyway, right. Got this from Jeff Waddle. Is the web planet great? No.
Yes.
But you have to admire them for trying for something beyond their reach. The book is good. Take two episodes out and you would have a decent story. I'd rather watch this on continuous loop than bloody Nightbear in Silver again. So that says it all. Yeah, well, I agree with some of what he said. It is, they were brave to attempt it. And it was, you know, it was a proper departure. But it didn't work because it was just boring, basically.
Was it?
Yes, it was. Wasn't it, Debbie? No, because you're going all quiet now. Well, not said shut up. It was only for that specific second.
Her internet went down.
Yeah, I can
bet,
actually.
Yes. Anyway. Got some more feedback.
Hello, 20 Men.
Oh, hang on, Ian. Hang on. Theme tune first. Very quick in
Hello,
there,
20 Meg Back Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Well, Saxon. The Web Planet by Bill Strutton.
Oh, good grief.
I heard the buzz on this one, and it was as bad as they say. The atmosphere on the planet Vortis causes lens flare.
Lens flare?
I think J.J. Abrams is from that planet. Gold is special here, as it is later with the Cybermen. Barbara's gold bracelet allows the Animus to control her. I put a
spell on you. Oh, my life.
Because you're mine. The aliens are quite alien in this story.
Yes,
I hope so.
Aliens in sci-fi usually act like humans. The Animus has taken control of the Zarbi, causing the Monoptera to flee their planet. They create an isotope to kill the Animus, but it takes six episodes to do this, what with the usual being captured and escaping. The blurred lenses and the Zarbi noise was annoying. Now we know what kind of noise annoys a Hoopon.
Yeah.
Lighting was good enough, and I can't blame them for the lack of budget.
So, do you actually know how many people actually listen to the show, how many downloads we get every week?
The best I can do for you is in the last 30 days. 36,809.
What? A few thousand people listen to you talk about nerd stuff?
Not for now.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Ian. Well done, mate. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, very good. Another classic from Ian Kirk, everybody.
Mm-hmm. We must get him on the show one day, really. We must get him on. He's such a he's a cracking bloke, Ian is.
He certainly is. Now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Oh, my God.
And the first question goes to Mary.
All right.
Okay. I'll just get my thing poised over the correct sound effect.
Your right. thing poised, yes. Right. That's scary. You got your thing poised.
Who wrote The Web Planet?
I know, but you'll know.
Bill Strutton.
Bing.
Debbie. Bing.
Yes.
What did Barbara compare the planet to?
Wait, who's...
Yeah, whose question?
Did you hear me say Debbie?
I heard you say Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie.
Right. I didn't.
Debbie.
She liked
I didn't.
It.
That's because you were talking over me at the time. Debbie.
No.
She said it was like a cemetery.
Thank you, Debbie.
What was the question?
Well, if you listened instead of talking over me, you would have heard the question. Meanwhile, we'll play the sound that she deserves, which is this one.
I didn't hear whose question it was, and I was wondering whose
question it was.
Well,
if you listen instead of talking
so
over me...
To the question, because
heard
I
it.
Didn't know if I should be listening to it.
Debbie heard it.
I didn't hear it either.
Debbie heard it.
I know.
It. Mary, did you hear it?
Yes, I did.
Thank you, because you lot were talking over yourselves and didn't bother listening. The question was, what did Barbara compare the planet to?
A cemetery.
Cemetery.
Too late.
Cemetery.
Not getting any more points, Debbie. Right. Andy,
Like, I've now heard me. Yes, Kirby. Right, it's my question.
Kirby?
No, Kirby. I'm telling Kirby because he didn't hear it last time.
Yes, I heard it.
Thank you.
Shut up.
I heard distinctly.
What word did Vicky use to describe the picture on the scanner?
I know.
It looks a bit grim.
Oh, sorry, I pressed the wrong button. It was those. That one, yes. Sorry. Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor and Ian have on the front of their jackets? What were they called?
I know.
Respiratory something or others.
I'll give you a point for that one.
I know the whole thing.
Go on then, Andy.
It's a respiratory compensator.
Yeah, I'll give you a point for that.
I've got it written down here.
Well done.
Yeah, me too.
There's my notes.
Yes, all right, thank you. You get one of those.
As far as he got with his notes.
Yes, indeed. Mary.
Yes.
How did the Doctor open the TARDIS door without power?
I know.
Go on, Debbie, you can have it.
No, she couldn't, but give Mary a chance. Good grief.
Don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Debbie definitely
And the Debbie apparently knows.
Well, apparently I know, but I don't know if I got it right. It's waves hand three times over light sensor.
I think that's near enough. What weird? Hang on a minute. What weird though?
What?
It's his ring. He used to ring, didn't he?
Yeah. It's the ring.
It's a ring he used. He says this is not merely a decorative object.
Okay, it doesn't really matter. Right, what was the ring attached to?
I still got a ding.
Excuse me, what was the ring attached to?
Actually, Master. Master.
Yes.
It was not attached to his hand because he took it off just before he waved it.
Okay.
Triangle,
Debbie gets the point.
What did he do with it? Was it attached to his hand? I hate to think what he got it on. I don't want to take it any further. I'm going to stop now.
Right. Let me point something out.
I'm going to stop now.
Let's make it quite clear. Debbie got the point.
Right, yeah, let's
Kirby
okay.
gets this for
let's
being overly let's pedantic. He's now gone down to zero.
That's unfair.
Debbie. Oh, Debbie.
That was mine, wasn't
it? No, that
it?
Was, you got a bonus point. That was actually Mary's question. Right. Debbie, how old was Vicky when she took a certificate of education in medicine, physics and chemistry?
10.
Correct. Andy.
That's me, yes.
What vanished into the air?
Oh, I know.
I know.
Oh, God.
Stop blowing out the microphone.
No.
Okay, right, there you go. Debbie?
Gold pen.
Oh. Yep, okay.
Yes, it was indeed. Ian's pen, to be precise. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What did Ian remove from his waist at the request of the Doctor?
His belt.
Wrong. No, yes, I know.
Go on in, Andy.
It's his tie.
Correct. So the scores at the moment, with no points, Kirby in last place, in third place with 2 points, Mary in second place with 4 points, Andy, and in the lead with 6 points, it's Debbie. Right, the next question goes
to... How surprising!
Next question.
Well, normally I'm bottom, so I don't know what you're complaining about, Kirby. Right,
Thank you. Mary.
Yes?
What acid did the Doctor say had similar properties to that
in... Sulfuric acid.
No, he didn't say that, actually. Never mind. Anybody? Pardon?
I know.
Oh, Kirby knows.
Formic.
I know.
I didn't hear you say I know. Sorry, Debbie. And you'll hear that when you listen back to the show. Oh, you don't. Well, if you did listen back to the show, you would have heard me not hear you saying you knew.
Right.
I said I know it's formic acid, and then he went, I know it's formic acid.
I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't hear you either.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
I didn't hear you either.
See, if you were sat next to me...
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, why aren't you... Next door.
Because Alpha Debbie won't allow it.
She's next door. I mean, the other one's only 3 inches square, isn't it?
Right, I think this is Debbie's question.
Okay.
What letters did the Doctor use to name their coats?
ABJ.
Yes. Which particular one? Was it Ben Shoveler? Hang on, that deserves a... And you deserve a... Right, yeah. Andy.
That's me, yeah.
Ian suggested they should breathe slowly, like a what?
I know.
Astronaut.
Well, Andy gets a...
I said I know.
And Debbie gets a yes, go on.
Diver.
Correct.
Oh, bollocks. Yes. Big pardon. Sorry about that, folks.
And it's Kirby's go.
He minds a couple of bollocks in the show.
Oh, shush. Kirby. What happened to Nero's gift to Barbara? Ultimately. What became of it at the end? It came to an end. What happened to it?
Oh, right. Okay.
What did happen to her? I know she had... Oh, yeah, it went into a pool of acid.
We get there in the end, don't we?
Yeah. I was trying to remember because she was I was thinking you were asking if she's been pulled along by it and stuff. Yeah.
Mary.
Yes, sir.
What galaxy is Vortis in?
ISOP galaxy?
Here's the correct answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, well done. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Which Monoptera wanted Barbara dead at the beginning of the story?
I know.
Which Monoptera?
Yeah, which Monoptera wanted Barbara dead at the beginning of the story?
I know.
Wasn't Hostra? Frostra, whatever his name is?
No, not even close.
No.
It was?
Go on, Kirby.
It was, actually, because when I watched it, I rewound that bit to get the name right. So,
Frunda.
No, it was Hostra. It was Hostra.
Frunda.
It was
Hostra. I went back and replayed that, didn't I, Debbie?
Frunda said...
I had to go back and write it down.
I say kill her.
No, unfortunately, when I went back and... Oh, shut up, it's hot. She gets the points. Right, Andy.
Okay, whatever.
What episode was that?
Never mind. I'm not going to... doesn't say which episode it was on.
Episode 2.
Andy.
Yes, okay.
What was the name of the female Monoptera?
I know.
You will have written it down, Andy. Look through.
I wonder... It's a cross star.
Mary, what did you say it was?
Restin.
Yeah, I know you're resting, but what did you say the name of the...
Oh, bugger, I didn't think it was. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Kirby.
I was going to boss it. Oh, and he says... Oh, never mind.
Kirby.
Who, me?
Yes,
How many Kirbys have we got?
What state...
Master.
Oh, God.
Just thrown the iPad across the room.
What state was Barbara in when she was hypnotized?
Oh, I know.
I know she was here in the United States.
She was, yes. Was she in Kansas or Arkansas?
Ohio.
Oh, well done.
I don't know.
Right, okay.
Was she morphotized?
She was morphotized, yeah. Somebody watches the Bimin episodes, don't they, apart from me?
Why?
Grief.
Because I might have to write the question.
I just couldn't. Oh, I just lost interest.
Right. Mary.
I was trying to line at the time.
Mary?
Yes?
Right. What were the Animus's first words? You won't get this one.
Oh, I think I know.
You're right, I won't, because I don't know.
Apparently Debbie knows it.
I think I do. Is it, why do you come now?
That's word perfect. Yeah, got that written down, and it's word perfect. Yeah. Well done, Debbie.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor tell the Animus they had strayed from?
Strayed from?
Yes, I know.
No, I don't know that one.
Wow. Go on then, Andy.
It's our astral plane.
It is spot on.
Yes.
Right, Andy.
Okay, yep.
When Vicky fell against the TARDIS console, what miracle did she achieve?
Oh, yes, I know that one.
The Zarbi all scattered and vanished and got...
No, Debbie?
Okay.
Pardon? Hang on. I'm going to give it to Mary because she got in there quickly. Well done, Mary.
What was the answer? So I didn't hear the answer.
Realigning the fluid link.
She fixed the fluid link, yeah.
Oh, the good old
fluid link. Fluid
link. Hang on a minute, because the Zarbi all scattered. Oh, yes, right. I've got it, yeah, I understand.
Yes, I know you do. Right, Kirby.
Sorry, sir.
Master.
What did Ian hope the doctor was asking the Animus?
Where Barbara was.
Is the correct answer. But it won't play the din, so you don't get the points. Oh, you do, really. Right, then. right, so the scores then at the moment are... In joint last place, with 5 points each, it's Kirby and Andy. In second place with 6 points, it's Mary, and then the lead with 13 points, it's Debbie. Right, this is...
Kirby, I never win. I always come bottom. It's one of those things, yes, you know, I come bottom, yes, okay, yay. Right. It's life.
Mary.
I used to win back in the days when...
When it was only you on the show, yes.
When we had good stories and you watched them, yes.
Yes. Mary.
Yes.
How did Ian refer to Vicky while she was being held hostage by the Zabi? You won't get this one.
I don't know.
Anybody?
The girl?
Now, why is this not playing the sound effects? No, it was that kid.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. It's quite derogatory in this. Yes. In the whole of
By
this.
The way, the Internet Movie Database says Frunda for kill her.
Thank you for that. Right. Don't know what it's in reference to, but moving on.
Just Kirby being random.
Yeah.
It's for the question where I supposedly got it wrong when I got it right.
Okay.
No, it was me. It was my question, and I answered it, and I got 2 points, so I'm obviously wrong.
Oh, God's sake. Right, so Debbie, I think this is your go.
I can out-pedant anyone. Yeah. Yes, okay.
What did Ian...
Kirby, yeah.
What did Ian try to do to the astral map while they moved it from the TARDIS?
Oh, my God. Looking at my notes.
Oh, good grief.
He got something of his sleeve, and that's all I've got.
Whose go is this?
I don't know what he does.
Okay, well, there we go. Eventually, when he plays the sound. Does anybody know?
No.
Oh, you didn't get that one then. The answer was unplug it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Don't unplug it, because you'll never break the time of relative dimension.
Yes, well, you should have said that then, shouldn't you? Right, Andy.
I've got a smiley face.
Okay, that's me, yeah. Okay, that's me, yeah. Okay,
what
right,
did
okay.
the doctor call the communication device he used to talk to the Animus?
I know.
No, it's useless. It's useless. Come on, put me through.
Yes, yeah, so what did he call it? What did he call the device?
I know.
Oh, it's a hairdryer.
Eventually we get there.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry, yeah, sorry.
It's my quote.
Oh, Kirby. This is your question.
Master.
Where did the Monoptera plan to jettison their craft?
On the plane of... The plateau, the Sayo Plateau.
No. Anybody?
Wasn't it at altitude 5 above Crater of Needles?
Oh, I'll give you a point because you mentioned Crater of Needles, which is actually the answer. Right, so the scores then are in last place with 5 points, Kirby.
Me.
In third
me.
Place with 6 points, Mary. In second place with 7 points, Andy. And in the lead with 14 points.
One second! My yes. God, what's going wrong?
Debbie, sorry, right, this is Mary's question. Mary?
Yes, yes, right. Yes.
What did the doctor ask Vicky to fetch from the TARDIS?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
Of course you know.
Yes. Oh. No, it's some little box, but I don't remember what it was. So, move it on.
Right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a point for mentioning a box, because that's really good going. That's quite good. Right, so who said they knew?
Me.
Oh. Go on then, Debbie.
It's a little red box inside is a recording compound.
Is precisely the right answer, but you only get a point for it. Yes. No, anyway, it's not playing the point. This thing is really playing up today. Right then. Debbie.
Yes.
Get a new computer.
I have got a new computer, but I'm not using it for that. Oh, shut up. Right, Debbie. What yes. was the rest... Sorry. What was... What did... What does it say what was? What did Reston call Ian? This is a difficult one.
Heron. Yes.
Yes.
Heron.
Heron. Right. Andy.
I guess yep. he looked like a bird to her.
Yeah.
Maybe. Andy, where do the Zabi live? And I don't mean the planet, for God's sake.
Well, where do they live? Zabi HQ in the Crater of Needles.
Oh, I think...
hang on a minute. No, you
No, that'll do. Carcinome, yes, that'll do. I think on the right line.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
nice
dumping.
Carcinome. Yes. No, he already said it.
Yeah, I know. I was just helping him.
No, yeah,
thank you,
right.
Debbie.
Kirby.
Carcinome.
Yeah, I'll write that
down. Right.
I think
Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
According to the Optera, What comes from the roof?
Hate, the liquid death. That's right.
You get that, but you over elaborated. The word was death I was looking for. You get the points. Sorry about that. But you said, then you went death, which is the word I was looking for. Might as well have gone through every word in the alphabet, dictionary, and eventually would have got to the right answer.
The entire quote is, we know that from the roof comes hate, the liquid death.
Death was
creeping
the word.
Creeping destroyed the architecture.
I'm not looking for a quote. Shut up. God's sake. Mary.
That was one of my alternate quotes.
Okay. Mary.
Yes. Yes.
What are the Monoptera invasion force armed with?
I know it's something stupid because it didn't work.
I think I know.
I can even see them. I don't remember what they're called, though.
Right. Okay. So what do you think then, Andy?
Well, I think I've got the quote, it is with useless weapons.
It is the quote for with useless weapons. Spot on. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
The Optera threatened to throw Ian and Vrestin into what?
The fire chasm. I just said that, didn't I?
You did. And don't stop being a smarty pants.
Sorry.
Andy.
That was one of my quotes.
What was the code word?
Oh, yeah. I know.
What a surprise.
I've got it written down here somewhere. I'm going to try and work with you in notes, and I've got it.
Your notes for episode 4 or something.
Yeah, Debbie, when we meet in next month when I turn 50, I'll show my handwriting. Handwriting is bloody.
Yeah, when I suggested to Debbie about a meeting up, she decided that she's going to go on a day trip somewhere on the mainland that day.
Oh, did I?
Electron!
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, we got there in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, my writing is.
Stalling tactics there.
Stalling my writing. No. I will share, my writing is appalling.
I thought the electron God is knows how Thursday.
Very funny.
I have actually got three.
I wanted
degrees.
This to be an election free podcast.
Computers, Andy, computers.
No, I've passed all my exams with handwriting. I've got three degrees. I've got 200 degrees and a master's degree. God knows how I've passed a lot of them because my writing is awful.
When will I see you again?
Oh, Pearson.
That was a 3 degrees, by the way.
Yes, I know that. Yeah. Prince Charles loves them.
Where do we get up to? Whose go was that?
That was my question.
All right. Kirby.
Master.
Right. In The Invasion, what do the doctor, does the doctor tell Vicky not to count? You won't get this one.
Oh, I know this.
Cybermen.
I don't know.
Okay, apparently Debbie knows it. This is a surprise, everyone, isn't it?
Debbie
what is it,
knows
Debbie?
Everything.
Yes.
Don't count your chickens, child.
Yes. Wow.
Do you write everything down, Debbie?
Yeah, the whole script. Yeah.
Do you sit and write like the whole script down as you're watching?
I think she probably does. Right, no. Then, Mary.
If I had shorthand, I would.
Mary. Oh, Mary.
Yeah.
What was Hilio the leader of?
Oh, the invading force.
Well, I'll give you that. I was looking for a specific word.
Spearhead.
There you go. That was the word I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Can
I
get a point?
No, Mary got it.
Mary got it.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Debbie.
Yeah.
What once covered Vortis in a cocoon of peace?
Flower forest.
You smart ass.
Sorry. I love that whole big speech thing about that. That was quite nice.
Okay. Andy?
That's me, yep.
What name did Vicky give to the Zabi?
Oh, Zombo.
Apparently it was a... I have to click this thing twice to get it to do its job. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What type of creature was Nemone? Yeah, Nemone. What type of creature was Nemone?
One of the little hopping Optera.
Whoa, I didn't expect you to get that one, but you did. So it's right, so with hardly any questions left, thank goodness, the scores are at the moment.
There was Nemone and Hetera, and I forget the name of the other one.
We don't need any other points for being a smart aleck. Debbie gets enough points for that as it is. That's got to be a... Right, so the scores are in last place, or joint last place, Mary and Kirby with 9 points each. In second place with 14 points, it's Andy. And then the lead with 22 points, it's Debbie.
Oh, boy.
All right, three questions left, and they're a bit of a free-for-all. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah, right. First free-for-all question. Who died while trying to put a necklace on a woodlouse?
Oh,
go on then, Andy.
Hero star.
Good enough. Right. What planet is the Minoctra main force? Oh, the, and I think what that's supposed to be where it, what planet, on what planet is the Minoctra main force? Pardon, Debbie?
Is it Pictos?
Yes, it is. What a surprise you got that one right.
Master?
Yes.
May I answer the next one?
Why?
Before you ask it.
Go on, go on.
Well, if you get it wrong, get all your points deducted. So it's up to you. So it's an all or nothing.
Well, I'm losing
anyway. Listen. No, this is it. Hang on, before we do it. Hang on.
Lay structures sonores.
All points deducted. That's a bit of a thing, because you weren't listening to me at all. Right. Next question. I was going to say it's all or nothing. Either you get all your points deducted, or you get them doubled. Right. So I'd quite like that idea on this last question. So all or nothing then. This last question is a double or nothing for whoever gets it. Are we ready?
Yeah.
It makes it very exciting for the listeners, you know. Where will the TARDIS crew's deeds be sung?
Oh, I know.
Well, go on then.
Sorry. Be sung to the gods of light.
No.
The point at the needle of the
key. No.
Right, all points gone for Debbie. Go on then, Andy. Andy.
Be sung in the temples of light.
Is the correct answer.
Yes!
Master?
Yes?
Why did you not ask your normal incidental music
because
question?
You expect it.
Oh.
Right. So the final scores then, in last place with no points, Debbie and Kirby. In second place with 9 points, Mary. And the winner this week with 17 points, it's Andy.
Yeah!
Just woken up the lovely door. Fine, I'm still a star. I'm still a smart
girl. Oh, that's made my weekend. That has utterly made my weekend.
Oh, and I just love that
Thank
new
you,
twist
Adam.
To the show. Yes. So beware.
How many of you understood what I was saying there?
Pardon?
I wonder how many people actually understood what I was doing
there. I think that was brilliant. Well done. What a great
Thank
idea.
Thank you. That's really has made my weekend, that has.
Right, anyway. Doctor Who News.
Dun, dun, dun.
Apparently there's this game come out. It's a Tiny Rebel Games and Sea Studios have launched the next section of Chapter 4 of their story. So I don't know what happened to Chapters 1, 2 and 3, but it looks like a handheld device game of some variety. Anybody heard of it? No? Good, right. Doctor Who has won some awards at the TV Craft Awards. Excuse me, I'm hiccuping on wine. That's Andy's fault. Excuse me. Right. The Special Visual Graphic FX Award, apparently. There is a little video to play on DoctorWhoNews.net, but I haven't got time to play it now. Also won a BAFTA, which we haven't seen, because they haven't actually shown these BAFTAs. Or did they? Well, sometimes they show them on sort of channels that are not sort of mainstream. Apparently won the British Academy Television Craft Award for Best Special Visual and Graphic Effects in 2015. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Uh-huh. There's also a Lala Ward interview that's been recovered from somewhere. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on YouTube. It's Lala Ward.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either.
Lala Ward interviewed 9th of March 1966, a whole scene going. So that might be worth having a look at. It's 5 minutes long. Talking of interviews, I did notice that somebody has found my John Pertwee film and sort of resurrected it as a new discovery of his last interview before he died. It wasn't quite an interview, though, was it? It was more of a sort of a meeting and him talking about stuff, but not really in an interview sort of way. But it's certainly worth watching.
Is it worth watching? Yes. Okay.
So look for John Pertwee, Isle of Wight, or something like that on YouTube or through that sort of search.
Who found it and why?
I can't remember. It popped up today. Somebody said, I think it was you, wasn't it? Is this your video? I think you said, didn't you? Well, somebody did.
I've noticed it. I watched it years ago.
Yeah, no, but it popped up today. I had a notification today to say, is this your video? Because it was trending a little bit somewhere. And I said, yes, it was. And people were saying that it was excellent and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, thank you very much. Bearing in mind I posted it a few years ago.
Yeah.
But, it's. I suppose I better post a link to that now, wouldn't I?
By the way, I'm now winning 8-4 in the I'm Ready for the Understand quiz.
Oh, yeah? And the what?
Yeah. Everyone, people understand me. I don't know what your problem is. 8-4 up. Get in.
Pardon?
I've won the quiz, and I'm the poll. I'm winning. Are you going to understand? I am winning.
I thought you were Andy.
Oh, good grief.
So I won the quiz, and I'm winning the poll. It's my weekend. Yo. Get in, my
Happy
son.
Bank holiday. Yeah,
thank you, my dear Debbie.
God, anyway, I'll have to find the link for you for this John Pertwee thing. It's been posted on 20 megabyte page a while back.
Find it.
No, I'll post it on the page. Here we go. Stop blowing on your microphone.
Yeah, stop blowing on the microphone.
Right. Well, back to news.
New headset soon, so it'll be me blowing on the microphone.
Back to news. A new headset? What do you need a new headset for?
Well, because I keep everybody awake if I'm recording this late at night.
Well, next time when we record on a Tuesday, you'll be sat next to me, won't you?
Yes, I will.
The secret is to not use a headset, but to use a true microphone.
Yes, thank you, Kirby. Right, what else we got here? A Radio Times cover from the issue that announced the arrival of Peter Capaldi has been nominated for Cover of the Year.
Yes, I'd seen that.
Mm. Oh. Doctor Who comes to FX India, BBC
Isn't
Worldwide.
That the one that I sent to you two, Kirby and Mary?
May well have been.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you are in possession of an award-winning Radio Times. So BBC Worldwide have signed a deal to bring Doctor Who to the Indian channel FX.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Series 9 casting update. David Schofield has been signed up to appear in the next series of Doctor Who. He generally plays baddies.
Yeah.
He's got that sort of face,
isn't
he? Might
be nice to go with his type and have him as a goodie.
Yeah, it would be. Oh, they did that with David Warner, didn't they? Because he was played badly. Baddies, and he was a goodie in Doctor Who. Mind you, it's because Americans, in American productions, of which David Warner's been in a lot, tend to like to cast British people as baddies anyway, don't they? I don't like that. What do you think of that, Debbie? About Americans casting British characters as baddies?
Well, we sound inherently sneaky.
Do we? So. Speak for yourself.
No, it's that elegant intellectual sound, you know, that, really? That makes you suspicious. Yeah.
The specific baddie I was thinking of was the chap that was born on the island. What was his name? Jeremy Irons. He was born on the Isle of Wight. Everybody, and he was a baddie in one of the Die Hard films, wasn't he?
He was also Scar in Lion King.
Yeah. He was a baddie in that. But then Rowan Atkinson was in it, and he was a goodie.
Yeah, but Rowan Atkinson was comedy relief in it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Doctor Who magazine 486 appears to be out with a quite strange picture of Sylvester McCoy looking quite old on the cover.
Oh, yeah. That's a weird picture.
He's old now, isn't he? Come on, he's knocking on a bit now.
Yeah, but I saw him at the Doctor Who celebration, as did you, I suspect. He didn't look that old there. That was only a year or so ago.
And it was just under... a year ago when I met him.
Yes.
Of course, he was on the show, wasn't he? Friend of the show.
Yeah, we saw him at Concus Sturbers.
Yeah.
10 years of New Who artwork competition to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Doctor Who returning to our screens. Doctor Who News commissioned artist Deborah Taylor to draw a celebratory image involving the Doctors from 2005 onwards. And there's a sort of cartoon of that on DoctorWhoNews.net. Apparently Kate Stewart is going to be back for Series 9.
Master?
What?
Do you get the reference, that thing that they're standing in front of in that picture?
It's a thing from the Five Doctors, I think.
Yes,
says
there
five
you go.
Doctors there. Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. Was I not supposed to get it then? No, all right.
Possibly.
If you were really looking.
That's essentially it, really, for Doctor Who News. Obviously, there's a big finish Fourth Doctor story to...
There was yesterday, it was Free Comic Book Day, and...
Big finish of producing a new Torchwood audio play, or audio plays.
They don't have that in England. They should have that in England.
What, Torchwood?
Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day. My two daughters, Fred and then the youngest one, Mary, both went out and got me that particular comic because I was working in the yard and couldn't take the time.
A lot of cosplaying chums were out and about doing stuff. So yeah, it was looked like
the girl
fun.
Said nobody had costumes
Stop
where they went.
Breathing the,
Stop
on
breathing
microphone.
In the microphone.
Oh God's sake. Look, we used to have sort of flapping your ears. Now we got sort of breathing on the blooming microphone. Right. Yeah. Well, that's
why haven't we not heard from the dogs this evening?
Because they're asleep in the other room. Yeah, it's not a lot on whoone.co.uk. We've got Charlotte Pollard, which was mentioned two weeks ago, in fact. Duffel bag, a Dalek duffel bag. That's new. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, I like that.
Debbie likes that. Apparently, Debbie went into Who Won and got his arm behind his back to try and get him to them to put the new graphic on the website, but that didn't work. We're going to have to resort to more. Oh, they have! Take it all back.
Yes.
Oh my goodness! Yes, if you go to whowon.co.uk, not only can you buy lots of really good stuff, you can see our logo with the correct email address on it at long last.
Yay!
Really? Okay.
So yes, where's that? We've got to go. To see all these lovely things, Mary? Oh, okay, fine.
Oh, that's whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
I'm going to get Isla to record a bumper for him. Yeah. Yeah. Keep saying it at me. whowon.co.uk? It's like, yeah, shut up.
So, yes, I was trying to hope this was going to be an election-free podcast, but somebody spoiled it for me.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, yes, listeners, there is an election. You've got to vote for whether you can understand Andy or not. That's on the 20MB.2 podcast.
Well, I'm winning 8-4, so I'm Prime Minister on Thursday then, so that's it. So I'll just walk around the corner from where I work now and walk straight into number 10, because I run past it every day.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, past it, because you probably get stopped by the police. But,
you know. Well, no, I do actually know, because where I run from, I live in Guildford. Where I work is I run past the back entrance to number 10, and I see the guys there with the guns. So,
well,
Thursday
guns, he's got,
night,
what,
then
mean
I can
the
run
muscles,
back and say, excuse me, out the way, I'm in there.
Yes, I mean, I got voted
in. I'm PM, yeah, I'll be voted. I won. I'm voted. I'm in. That's me. Alan Butcher, I'm in charge of you. Sorry, if you haven't been watching the... post on the Facebook, this Alan Butcher and I, because Alan Butcher and I, we're good mates, respect him completely, we're totally politically opposed, but if he wins, I will definitely buy him a pint.
Yes,
if
definitely.
I will
buy him a pint if he wins his seat, and I said
Is he actually running for Parliament then?
Yes, he is. He's running for Parliament at Littlehampton. He's the Labour candidate at Littlehampton, and if he wins, I will buy him a pint. I said I would. He gave me a lift home from Alan, Professor Day's last leaving Dewey second one. Alan, I will buy you a pint if you win. I said I would, and I would definitely do that.
I'm fairly on the fence here politically, but good luck, Alan.
But like Mary.
Hope you win. At least we'll have somebody who knows, who's heard about the show in Parliament.
See, Alan has said that he's going to record a video of himself holding up his ID card and saying, Alan T. Butcher MP.
Brilliant.
And so we can all say we know who you are.
Yeah,
he will be the right. Yeah. If he wins, he'll be the Right Honourable Alan Butcher. So I've got a friend in Harlow who's an MP now, and that's what you become when you become an MP. You are the Right Honourable. So he will become the Right Honourable Alan Butcher.
Well, that's something. I won't be listening to any of the election stuff because we're going to Ollie Murs that day. So. I might be listening to it on the radio in the car.
Why are you doing that, Adam?
Do you not realise I have children and one particular young child who loves Ollie Murs? Yeah, this is what you do when you're a parent.
I've got this to come, haven't I? Yeah.
When you're a parent, you have to go along to what the kids like.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We actually got last week...
I listen to Foo Fighters, so now I'm lucky.
Yesterday, we were at a friend of ours around, so they've got a load of stuff I want to get rid of. We've been given a load of baby stuff. It's like scary. It really is quite scary because I've never, you know,
scary
I'm 50
baby
years
stuff.
Old. I've never done this before.
Are you, are you sure that's not a bit inappropriate? Scary baby stuff.
No, I think being a father is definitely scary. Sorry, Adam. Well, Adam, you've done it twice. You must know.
Yeah, well, the scary bit is when they become teenagers.
Yes.
And Alicia passed the driving test last week, so she's out and about in her car and not in very often now, because she's completely free. Apart from yesterday, when she tried parking the car outside the house, the neighbour had to go out. She probably can't get off the island. I was telling a story then, but everybody talked over.
She'll only drive 10 yards, can't she, anyway?
Mind you, I do the editing. I can edit out what you lot are saying and just stick my bit of my story in anyway.
Be able to drive on and off the ferries, really.
Yeah.
Right, so I did find the posting I was referring to. It's on a Facebook page called John Pertwee. And I'll post a link to that on the website as we speak.
Last appearance.
Oh, you saw it? You pretend you didn't. No, you say you. Yes. Grief. Yeah, John. But yes, and it's Matthew Kressel who actually tagged me in it to said, Adam Pearson, this is your video, I think. I replied to that.
He used to be on the show, didn't he?
And it says, thanks for sharing so precious, said Francesca Polizzi. Don't know why I gave her a name drop, because she's not going to be listening to the show. Sorry, what did you say, Andy?
Didn't he used to be on the show, Matthew?
Yeah, you must have heard of him.
Yeah, it was only on a few weeks ago. Fair enough.
Con GT.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Anyway, so next week we're going to be looking at, or trying to look at, a sort of semi-reconstruction of the Crusades. And so when shall we record? I'll just see what I'm doing on Sunday.
You already said that we're recording that Tuesday.
No, I suggested Tuesday.
Oh, I thought that was the only option.
I think we could.
Because it's an anniversary.
It's my birthday. Yes, we are doing it that day. It's my birthday. But how are we going to fit it in? Should be all right. I think Deb's working. Yeah, so therefore.
Tuesday the what?
Tuesday the 12th of May. That morning we shall be recording.
I think I have to be at work for midday, but I can be there for most of it.
Well, we'll have to start recording at 10.
Yeah, apparently we decided on this a while back because I already have it listed.
Well, I forgot to write it in the diary, but then I wouldn't have really forgotten because it's my birthday.
But Andy can't be with us, right?
No, I can't. I can't do it.
No. Sorry.
But that's the way it goes, yeah.
I can't change my birthday.
You know, some of us have to work, you know.
And the ironic thing about that is not only is it my birthday, it's also the day that the co-op where I work closes.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Is it the 5th anniversary as well?
Our 5th anniversary. It's after nearly 22 years, the co-op closes. And I've just been there for 8 years and 5 days after that. But, yeah, so a lot going on the 12th of May. I probably won't get any cards or presents or anything, but hey-ho.
Of course you will. I'm coming round.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to send you, Adam, I actually sent you a Christmas card because I found the APV address and a Christmas card there. I don't know whether you got it or not.
Did I?
Well,
Stop breathing in the microphone.
I can't remember.
I went to the website to find APV.
Yes.
And I sent a Christmas card to that address. So I guess
Can I tell you what might have happened with that? My wife might have opened it and just stuck it on the Christmas card tree, and I may never have seen it.
Okay. Well, if you want to PM me your address, I will send you a birthday card, Adam.
I'm not begging for birthday cards.
No, Adam, much. I would like to send you a birthday card. You'll be 49. You're a year younger than me.
You don't have to mention that. It's not imperative.
Virtual birthday cards, listeners. We could do with some of those.
Well, I will send you a real physical, actual card, you know, written with my own fair hand.
I wouldn't bother. I never send anybody else any cards.
What, the handwriting we can't read?
Exactly. And I'll get the lovely daughter sign it as well. And the bump.
Oh, talking of bump.
You'll have to ask Alf, maybe, if you got a card from someone whose handwriting you couldn't read.
Yeah.
Did I mention last time, that Paul Wilson's arranging another meeting with myself while he's on the island in June?
Yes, I think he apparently appears
to be down during the festival weekend. I've got a funny feeling I'm actually more available that weekend than I originally thought, because I might be getting Saturday off.
Well, I've just got your address. Thank you, Adam.
So hopefully be a bit of a larger meeting than originally planned. Fingers crossed.
So actually, I now meet more of the my fellow podcasters. Having met Adam, having met Robert, I will now meet Adam and Debbie.
Yeah, but Debbie said she's got something else on that day, didn't you, Deb?
Well, we're there for the whole weekend. We're doing Thursday to Sunday, so we're the whole weekend.
So, I've got a glass of wine to finish. And you can tell by the sound of that glass,
I finished my glass. I finished my bottle ages ago.
This wine's been sitting in this glass festering for the last 2 hours. It needs
festering.
To be drunk. Festering, yes. Or maturing, whatever they, whatever wine does. So until the 12th of May, my birthday. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Oh, sorry, it's also the 5th anniversary of the show.
Get the co-presenter on.
What, Alicia? Yeah. She's out in a car. I'm never going to get her on again. Oh, Magic's just flapped his ears outside the door. A bit late for that, but never mind.
Bye. We are in a car.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Eventually we get another dog scratching the door. Hang on. Magic wants to come in.
I have to go do some more yard work.
Magic's just come in to say goodbye. Only Magic. No, okay. Don't say anything then. Move yourself. Just run over his paw. Right. Yes. Well, the most disjointed goodbye in the history of podcasting.
Yes.
Shall we do it one more time all together?
Yes, where's Magic? Magic, come here. Oh, there he is. Right, come here. Right, come up here. Come here. Oh, gotcha, Heavy. Come here. Oops. Come here. There we go. Right, just get Magic up. Right. Oh, no, he's sat on the cable. Oh, God. Right. Now, sit here. Right, now. Now. No, he's just licking his choppers. He's not going to say anything. Sometimes he growls at when you tickle him under his belly. But he's not going to do it today. Speak into the microphone. Don't lick your choppers. Oh, he just licked his choppers into the microphone. You won't have heard that, but it was right into my microphone. So.
Flapped his ears, though.
Yes. I'll make him flap his ears. He's going to have his ears flapped. Go on then, have an ear flap. Go on then. Go on, flap your ears. I'll rub his ears even more. I'll flap them even more now. Go on. Flap them. Go on. Go on. Now. Flap them. Yes, now.
Sorry.
Not you, the dog. Oh, he will do. I'll put him down. He'll flap his ears. There we go. All right, go on. I'll have a near flap, Magic. Go on. There we go.
Yay, sorry.
All right, goodbye.
Bye. Seeing you.
Happy party.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
I won!
I better get back outside and shoveling wood chips before my wife
gets
home.
I'm glad you ended that sentence with wood chips. My GoPro's died.
Bye.
I want a new GoPro.
Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.